This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Anger and tears in Minnesota. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, May 27. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Four police officers in Minneapolis have been fired in connection with the death of a man in handcuffs who said he couldn't breathe as a cop kneeled on his neck.
California is easing more restrictions tied to the pandemic. Barbershops and hair salons can now open in many places, but not in two of the best-known cities.
Two of President Trump's postings on Twitter have been labeled with a fact-check warning under a new company policy.
And the college grads who had jobs lined up for months, now seeing those offers rescinded thanks to a slumping economy.
They're up against some really tough odds. You know, the class of 2020 has likely been dealt one of the most difficult hands in history. We're talking high college costs, high student debt volumes, and a really hostile labor market.
Abigail Johnson Hess at CNBC.com on the new college grads in survival mode. Four Minneapolis police officers have been fired after a video showed one of them kneeling on the neck of a handcuffed man who died shortly after. The victim, identified as George Lloyd, is seen lying face down in the street, gasping for air and groaning, "I can't breathe," while an arresting cop knelt on his neck for several minutes. Mayor Jacob Frey said race was a factor. The cops are white. Mr. Lloyd is black.
Being black in America should not be a death sentence. This officer failed in the most basic human sense.
Hours after the firings yesterday, thousands of protesters filled the streets around the scene of Monday's incident. The Minneapolis Star Tribune reported protesters shattered the glass front door of the nearby police precinct and defaced the building. Police squad vehicles were hit with spray paint. Some protesters threw rocks and water bottles at officers in riot gear. Police responded by firing chemical irritants and flashbang devices. The demonstration broke up around 9 p.m. California is taking further measures to end its broad lockdowns designed to contain the spread of the new coronavirus. Barbershops and hair salons in 47 out of the state's 53 counties are now allowed to open for the first time in more than 2 months. However, Governor Gavin Newsom says those types of businesses must remain closed for now in Los Angeles and San Francisco. Here's L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti.
While retail businesses can open, they are not mandated to open. Take your time. Get it right.
Also across the state, nail and brow salons, tattoo shops, gyms, bars and entertainment venues, as well as community centers and public pools, are still banned from operating. On Monday, the governor lifted orders that ban church services and in-store retail shopping, although restrictions must remain in place. Last week, the Trump administration, you might recall, accused Mr. Newsom of discrimination by preventing places of worship from meeting while businesses and film studios were allowed to operate. Well, Twitter, for the first time, under a new policy, has applied a fact-checking notice to a tweet from President Trump. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Twitter applied the fact-checking notices late yesterday to a pair of tweets from the president about the potential for fraud involving mail-in ballots. With a small label and a link to more information, Twitter alerted its users that those claims were unsubstantiated with the phrase, "Get the facts about mail-in ballots." Twitter's move was based on a policy announced earlier this month to apply fact-checking labels about the coronavirus and other disputed issues subject to misinformation, including the election. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. This marked the first time Twitter has applied the fact-checking label to a message about non-coronavirus news. This could stir partisans on both sides of the political debate, with one arguing Silicon Valley should play a more active role in policing Mr. Trump's social media activity, while the other considers such moves akin to censorship. It's 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We all know that planning for your financial future in times of uncertainty can be challenging, but there's never been a more important time to get control of your personal finances than now. Why not try Quicken? Quicken lets you securely view and maintain your entire financial life from any device. It breaks down your spending automatically, so you can budget smarter and maximize savings. Manage investments and credit cards, track and pay bills, and easily prepare for tax time. Quicken gives you everything you need to review every detail of your finances and evolves with your needs so you can stay on track no matter where you are in life. It's been the most trusted personal finance software for over 30 years, and it's just getting better. Get the peace of mind and freedom that comes with taking better control of your finances today. Try Quicken risk-free for 30 days and get 25% off when you go to quicken.com/Gordon. That's 30 days risk-free and 25% off when you go to quicken.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Truckloads are growing again. Air travel and hotel bookings are up slightly. Mortgage applications are rising, and more people are applying to open new businesses. Harriet Torrey, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says these are among some early signs the U.S. economy is ever so slowly creeping back to life. Harriet, what are we learning?
Well, what we're learning is that real-time economic data is suggesting that the trough of the economic downturn might have been in April. So with most government data, we have to wait about a month to 6 weeks in order to get the news on how things were in, for instance, March, April, May, and so on. But we have a lot of real-time trackers on the economy, and we can see this pickup in, you know, people traveling at airports, people seated at restaurants, hotel occupancy rates, freight loads for trucking. So things like that are pointing to this very slight improvement, which, although the economy is still operating at very depressed levels, it's not getting worse.
Okay. And there was a critical point that somebody made in your story, too, saying if this is the only wave, right, then this is encouraging news.
Exactly. So all of this hinges on how the coronavirus develops. And that is what all economists are saying, is that if there is a second wave, we could see, you know, shutdown, shelter-in-place orders renewed. That will, of course, be extremely detrimental for the economy. But if, you know, if there is a vaccine, or if this is the only wave that we have, then this could hopefully mark the turning point for the economy. A lot of people pinpoint it to around, you know, late April, early May. We saw Mother's Day, people were spending on that. And then, of course, we just had Memorial Day weekend, lots of people out and about on the beach, you know, getting out there and spending a little bit more. So although this is, you know, the economy is still in a deep hole, it looks like the turning point might have happened, and that things might be starting to pick up slightly.
Touch on some of the data from the shipping industry, like trucking.
Well, yeah, so we've seen some trucking volumes, and they definitely fell very sharply at the start of April, but they've remained somewhat steady since then. And we've seen, you know, some indexes of freight shipments, which are up, you know, rising kind of 20% from, of course, from these very low levels. So they're still down on the year before average. But we've seen now improvement in weekly indexes for 4 straight weeks, which is definitely a positive sign.
We're speaking with Harriet Torrey, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called "For Economy, Worst of Coronavirus Shutdowns May Be Over." How about in terms of these low interest rates for first-time homebuyers? That surprised me.
Yeah, so that is definitely an interesting point. And I spoke to a realtor for this story who says that usually first-time buyers are the most cautious group when it comes to putting their money down on a big investment like a new property. However, the fact is that interest rates are very low. So if people are able to get credit, this is, you know, many of them are seeing this as a good time to buy. That is definitely a positive sign.
All right, and mix in with that, Harriet, too, kind of the enormous amount of government spending we're seeing. How does that weigh in on all this?
Yeah, so another factor in probably the way that people are feeling is that these enhanced unemployment benefits are still in effect. So people are getting more when they're on unemployment right now than they would otherwise. That, of course, could run out. That's expected to run out pretty soon. So that could mark a turning point. Either we will hopefully see a pickup in the job market and people can get out and find jobs as consumers start to spend and demand starts to increase in the economy. But that will definitely, that's definitely still a big unknown.
Yeah. I was going to say, with roughly 36, 37 million people out of work, how does the economy bounce back on the backs of consumers, right? We drive most of the most of the GDP.
Yes, and what economists are cautioning is that this it could be a slow process, and that some of these jobs might be lost permanently because it's just uncertain whether businesses will be able to survive this sort of 2 month pandemic shutdown. There's still a lot of unknowns in this situation, but you know, if we take a best case scenario, hopefully the worst might be behind us.
Thanks, Harriet. Harriet Torrey, economics reporter at The Wall Street Journal. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
To the general public, the video of a white police officer pressing his knee into the neck of a shirtless black man prone on the street crying out for help until he finally stopped moving was horrifying. Four officers were fired a day after George Floyd's death, a swift move by the Minneapolis police chief with Mayor Jacob Frey's full backing.
I support your decision 100%. It is the right decision for our city, the right decision for our community, is the right decision for our Minneapolis Police Department.
Despite their dismissal, whether the incident will be considered criminal or even excessive force is a more complicated question that will likely take months to investigate.
Number two.
The CDC says antibody tests used to determine if people have been infected in the past with COVID-19 might be wrong up to half the time. The CDC says the tests are not accurate enough to use to make important policy decisions. Officials using antibody tests need to use the most accurate tests they can find and might need to test people twice.
Number three.
Twitter is taking a step to try to fact-check President Trump. For the first time, the social media site has flagged some of Trump's tweets. Two of them were slapped with warnings yesterday. One called mail-in ballots fraudulent, and another said if there is mail-in voting, mailboxes will be robbed. Under each of the Trump tweets, there is now a link asking readers to get the facts about mail-in ballots, and it links to a page with fact checks and news stories about Trump's claim on the subject. Thousands of protesters shouted pro-democracy slogans and insults at police in Hong Kong before lawmakers debate a bill criminalizing abuse of the Chinese national anthem in the semi-autonomous city. In the central business district, police raised flags warning protesters to disperse before they shot pepper balls at them. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman says the league is moving ahead with a 24-team expanded playoff format if it's able to resume play and award the Stanley Cup. The plan was approved by the NHL's Board of Governors and comes days after the Players Association's Executive Committee gave the plan a green light. Under the format, the top four teams in each conference will play for seeding while the other 16 face off in a best-of-five series. If the season resumes, players will be tested for COVID-19 daily.
All right, it's part of the new normal, as they say, I guess. I've been watching German soccer with this crowd noise and cheering pumped in.
Yeah.
It's really weird. I mean, it sounds somewhat realistic.
Kind of working.
But it's kind of weird.
Kind of.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Dell Technologies has special business savings right now to help you office everywhere and stay productive. Save up to 45% on desktops, laptops, and do-it-all servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10 and save on essential electronics. All with free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Welcome into Wednesday. The class of 2020 has become known as the class of COVID-19. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, these students have been forced to cut their college career short, give up traditional graduation ceremonies, and begin their professional careers during the most hostile labor market since the Great Depression. And as Abigail Johnson Hess at CNBC.com writes, many have also had their first full-time job offers revoked. Abigail, what are they facing?
Well, you know, they're up against some really tough odds. You know, the class of 2020 has likely been dealt one of the most difficult hands in history. We're talking high college costs, high student debt volumes, and a really hostile labor market. And, you know, these kids aren't dumb. I would say 99% of the students we spoke with said they saw it coming. They saw people getting laid off. They were bracing for the worst, and it was still painful nonetheless.
Yeah. How does this compare to, say, what happened 10 years ago in the Great Recession?
Well, you know, that is kind of the benchmark that we're comparing this off of, the kind of place that we're looking to for lessons. In terms of the volume, it is much worse than the past recession, just in terms of the total volume of job loss that we're seeing. But there are some similar trends also, you know, students who are graduating from college and moving back in with their parents, who are, you know, taking on more debt. So there's definitely some lessons to learn from the past recession, but it's worse when you think about just the total impact.
Well, you think of the one young man you talked to who got the job from Uber last October. You know, here he is, you know, feeling good about his senior year, cruising into second semester, and all of a sudden what he gets the call. Is that what it is, saying we have to rescind, we're laying people off, the economy stinks now?
Yeah, exactly. And for a lot of these technical jobs in either tech or finance, a lot of these kids had those jobs for months so they could say, oh, I've got my senior year, I've got everything lined up. So that is particularly painful. You know, one of the students I spoke with, Will Yee, he always stands out in my mind because he had his offer, you know, months ago, was really set up. And when he found out his offer was rescinded, he said his anger was what fueled him to, you know, apply to dozens and dozens of places to kind of find a new job.
Wow. A certain state of shock for some of them, too, as you pointed out.
Yeah. No, definitely. They all seem to go into a state of shock. I had students describe saying they needed to take a long nap. Some saying they were shaking, that they that they didn't tell their parents or their friends because they just hadn't processed it yet. And these are kids who are well-adjusted, they're smart, but nonetheless, it still seems to be impacting them.
Yeah. Is there general guidance for them now as to what's next? Or is it, hey, listen, your chops are still good, things will turn around in a few months, and you'll have the gig? Or we don't even know that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still a little bit up in the air. The best thing students, you know, graduates can do right now is, you know, make sure they're applying places, staying in contact with recruiters. Because even if companies aren't hiring right now, the hope is that the economy will pick up soon. In the meantime, yeah, they got to keep staying up on top of their skills and staying in touch with their contacts if they can.
Thanks, Abigail. That is Abigail Johnson-Hess at CNBC.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Even in tough times, you want to try to look your best, even if it's just from the waist up for those video chats. So when it comes to your facial hair, Harry's has you covered, bringing you incredibly high-quality blades at factory direct prices, just $2 per blade. Now, when it comes to my facial hair, I'm typically a goatee guy, but lately I've been using these times of home quarantine to experiment with a full beard. This has allowed the precision trimmer blade on my Harry's razor to take center stage. I use it to make sure my new beard is looking its best. Now, you can keep your face looking smooth, too, or your beard looking clean, with a Harry's trial set delivered right to your doorstep. Just go to harrys.com/Gordon to order yours. And get this, to help support those who need it the most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. so you can feel good about looking good. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/Gordon. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/Gordon to start shaving better today.
This is America's First News, your number one source for coronavirus facts and information. This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday, May 27. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. 4 Minneapolis cops fired after a handcuffed man died in their custody. The mayor says race was a factor. The victim was black. A cop seen kneeling on the victim's neck was white. I think I said earlier the 4 cops were white. We don't know all their identities yet. SpaceX today, for the first time, is scheduled to launch humans into space. Latest major streaming service debuts today with HBO Max going for $14.99 a month. NASCAR races in Charlotte again today. And a tale of Good Samaritans in South Carolina. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One NA, member FDIC. You may have heard that Facebook announced it will continue to have a remote workforce after pandemic lockdowns ease. The company expects half of its employees to be outside of its offices over the next 5 to 10 years. With the list of companies embracing ongoing remote work getting longer and longer, more Americans will set up shop in their homes permanently. Are we ready? Here's Dave Crenshaw, LinkedIn learning instructor and best-selling author. He's based in Salt Lake City. Dave, what are you finding?
Well, I find that this is sort of a rip the Band-Aid off. Lots of people have been contemplating working from home, and then they're forced to do it, and they realize, wait a minute, this isn't as bad as I thought. And the moment you start to adjust, you find that you can actually be pretty productive with a few tweaks.
All right, like what, for example?
Well, a phrase I like to use is, with great freedom comes great distractibility. And every freedom that you have working from home, the freedom from the commute, the freedom to do whatever you want, each of them has distractions that come with it. So what you want to do is create boundaries in each of the areas where you work, your schedule, how you communicate with people, that sort of thing.
All right, so that means, for example, work at a particular desk in a particular room all the time, power down at 6 o'clock, those types of things?
Yeah, exactly. But it takes the time to really create that system in your mind. I mean, even if all you have is just the corner of an apartment and a little fold-up desk, you do something that creates a physical separation. If you can, put up a divider, put up a curtain, even put tape on the ground that says, when I step into this, I'm in work mode, and when I step out of it, I'm in my real life, the rest of my life mode.
On a somewhat related note, do you find that newbies to this are working longer hours?
Absolutely. In fact, that's one of the biggest problems. A lot of workplaces feel like they need to monitor their employees, like they're not going to work enough. That's not the problem. The problem is they're working late hours because they're just allowing the schedule to bleed into each other. So that's another boundary, is creating a clear finish line in your day when you're going to stop work and engage with the rest of your life.
A friend of mine the other day who manages some young adults said he finds that a lot of these folks are working later because they're bored right now. You know, they can't go out to bars and restaurants, so they pop open the emails at 10 o'clock. He says he sometimes gets emails from younger employers or employees at about 10 o'clock at night, and he's thinking, go to bed and do something else.
Right. And in my course on LinkedIn Learning about working from home, I talk about how when you do that, when you don't take time to have fun, to take a break, your productivity actually declines over time. So when I consult companies, I tell them, create that boundary for people. Tell them, please stop work at this time and do things that encourage them to take those breaks.
We're speaking with Dave Crenshaw. He's a LinkedIn learning instructor, also a best-selling author, and we're talking about working from home, possibly becoming the new normal, as it is for many people. Are there some people who are just not cut out for this?
Yeah, I saw a quote that said, introverts, check with your extrovert friends. They're not doing so well. And I think it's easy to think that introverts are going to do well with this. I've actually found the opposite, that extroverts are doing quite well with it for two reasons. Number one, this, you know, getting on Zoom and being in front of the camera and talking with lots of people, that's great. You know, that's great for them to smile. And now they're at home and they're seeing people all the time. Introverts are having the problem. I mean, I talked to one just this week, and she said, I feel like I have to smile all the time.
Oh, wow. Wow.
You know, being So I think each group has a different set of things that they need to learn. But no matter where you are, you have to understand that being on video, being online, is now a survival skill, just as much as using email and making phone calls.
Any particular industry you feel is impacted the most or the worst, for example? I immediately thought of sales. You know, my dad was a sales guy for a long time. Couldn't wait to press the flesh, shake hands face-to-face, that whole bit. I mean, that seems like that's difficult these days.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Sales is very difficult. It's not that it's not impossible. Again, it just requires adapting a new set of skills. I also find that in general, not so much an industry, but a group, small businesses in general struggle with this because they become so dependent on the way they do things, and they don't have big budgets for making changes. Mm. So I think wherever you're at, no matter what position you are, industry you're in, you got to stop, slow down, and take inventory and start to create some new systems.
That's Dave. Dave Crenshaw, LinkedIn learning instructor and best-selling author. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning America's First News. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Wednesday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know that kids can, on occasion, try to emulate things they see on TV and in the movies, and thankfully this didn't turn out to be much worse than it was. Officials say three young Bolivian brothers were hospitalized after getting a black widow spider to bite them, thinking it would turn them into Spider-Man.
Oh boy.
The Marvel-loving siblings, aged 12, 10, and 8, found the spider while herding goats. Thinking it would give them superhero powers, they prodded it with a stick until it bit each of them in turn. Finding them crying, their mom rushed them to a nearby health center, which transferred them to a nearby hospital. They were treated and finally discharged almost a week after they were bitten.
Ooh.
With venom 15 times stronger than a rattlesnake's, black widows are one of the most feared spiders in the world and the most venomous in North America. While their bites are not usually fatal, children are among the most at risk.
Really?
I never realized that. 15 times stronger than a rattlesnake.
Wow.
I'm kind of curious, though, how, you know, the first one gets bit, and I assume then, and, you know, I assume was in some kind of pain,
yeah,
you would think, from that. But then the other kids are like, yeah, sure, why don't you bite me too?
Right.
I guess they were all thinking, you know what, if we can push through the pain, we'll all become Spider-Man, and then all will be well, right?
Yeah. I guess maybe the first kid that got bit, they thought he was just being wimpy because of the actual bite itself.
Maybe.
Not the venom working its way through his bloodstream.
Right, right. Of course, my kids, you know, 12 and 8 themselves, thankfully not super huge Spider-Man fans, but a little concerning.
Could you imagine they're just like prodding a black widow?
Yeah.
Bite me, bite me.
Yeah, yeah, here
me,
you
right?
go.
Oh.
Yeah, like with a stick?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no thanks.
That's unbelievable. So 15 times stronger than a rattlesnake's.
Yes.
And almost an immeasurable fraction of a rattlesnake's weight.
Yeah, right. Right, yeah.
That is, yeah, man, that's impressive.
Big things come in small packages. Mm. And speaking of large stinging creatures, Gordon, here's some good news for those looking for some during this memorable time in our history. The murder hornets appear to have gone MIA. You'll remember earlier this month, the giant 2-inch hornets became a story and mostly a punchline about how bad 2020 has been after a report they had been discovered in Washington State and across the border in British Columbia. The hornets can kill a human if stung multiple times and certainly look menacing. Now for the good news. According to the Washington Department of Agriculture, despite traps placed across the Pacific Northwest and beekeepers on high alert, there hasn't been a new sighting of the hornets in 2020, and the nest in British Columbia has been eradicated. Now it's up to us to decide whether the hornets have truly retreated or are just in hiding, waiting to pounce when our guards are down. I'm going to go with that second one there.
Let me ask you something. Do you think it's necessary to broadcast this?
That there are no murder hornets?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like some jinx you're working on here. Like, you know the phrase, don't poke the sleeping bear, the, you know, the quiet hornet's nest or whatever. Like, here you go.
Right.
Running your mouth about murder hornets not able to be found.
So you subscribe to my theory that they're just in hiding, and now they're listening to this broadcast.
Well, sure.
As they are wont to do,
right.
And then they're going to pounce when they're ready.
What am I supposed to do? Like, you get bit. Am I supposed to help you or say, listen, you had this coming. Don't bother me, murder hornets. Like,
look, I forgive you. You run for your life, Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
Dell Technologies has special business savings right now to help you office everywhere and stay productive. Save up to 45% on desktops, laptops, and do-it-all servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10 and save on essential electronics. All with free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Glad you could spend some time with us. We're being inundated with coronavirus scams. More than 50,000 Americans have already filed complaints this year with the Federal Trade Commission. CNBC.com says one of the top ways scammers lure victims is through text message. It starts with a text purportedly from the IRS asking to confirm information for a stimulus payment through a link. If you click on it, the link takes you to a realistic-looking IRS webpage where you're prompted to provide your name, contact info, and Social Security number. Once you enter that information, you're then redirected to the real IRS website to make the scam look less suspicious. Also, watch for robocalls about fake refunds related to coronavirus. You get a call saying, "We cannot provide services due to COVID-19, but you have been charged $399. Press 1 to claim a refund." Then you're prompted for your credit card info. Fraud related to COVID-19 has totaled over $38 million. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Four Minneapolis officers involved in the arrest of a black man who died in police custody were fired yesterday, hours after a bystander's video showed an officer kneeling on the handcuffed man's neck, even after he pleaded that he could not breathe and stopped moving. Mayor Jacob Frey says this is the right call.
We've stated our values, and ultimately we need to live by them. It's essential for accountability now and going forward. I appreciate it, and I support you in that decision.
The death of 46-year-old George Floyd Monday night is under investigation by the FBI.
Number two.
A white woman with an unleashed dog in New York Central Park who called police to report she was being threatened by an African-American man might have gone unnoticed in a city preoccupied by a pandemic. But that changed when birdwatcher Christian Cooper pulled out his phone and captured Amy Cooper calling police. The widely watched video has led to discussions about racism and led to Cooper being fired. She spoke with WNBC.
You know, and words are just words, and I can't undo what I did. But I sincerely and humbly apologize to everyone.
Number three.
Two Republican governors are offering up their states to host the Republican National Convention a day after President Trump threatened to pull the convention out of North Carolina if that state's Democratic governor didn't assure him that the August gathering can go forward. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper.
I'm really not surprised at anything that happens on Twitter during this COVID-19 pandemic. We're continuing our discussions with the RNC and going to continue to put health and safety at the forefront.
Georgia Governor Brian Kemp and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis both offered up their states for the convention. According to a new AP poll, only about half of Americans say they would get a COVID-19 vaccine if the scientists working furiously to create one succeed. Another 31% aren't sure. One in five say they'd refuse. Worldwide, about a dozen vaccine candidates are in early stages of testing in people or poised to begin. Well, if Fido wasn't already part of the family, he sure is now. The bond between pets and their owners has become stronger during quarantines. According to a study by Banfield Pet Hospital, 84% of pet owners have become more conscious of their pet's health. 67% plan to change how they care for their pets. And 73% are worried about leaving their pets at home when it's time to return to the workplace.
You know how babies have specific cries about their wants and needs?
Yeah.
Our lab has that bark. So it's like a double bark when she wants to play with the soccer ball outside.
See, you know things now.
And then there's a different bark when she just wants to come inside because she's done. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Two Good Samaritans recovered $1,300 blowing down a South Carolina highway and helped return the cash to the elderly person who had lost it. Authorities say Linwood Woody Smith and Jonathan Omar Saldivar found the money floating along Highway 17 in Georgetown County at around 10:30 yesterday morning. In a Facebook post, the sheriff's office wrote, as a result of their quick and honest actions, the money was returned to the elderly owner who was actively searching for it. It's unclear how the victim dropped the money, but he may have been shopping at a farmer's market nearby. Georgetown, by the way, is on South Carolina's coast, south of Myrtle Beach and north of Charleston. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.